In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. As always, it's great to be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Every Sunday we celebrate a mini Pasqua. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For that reason, we say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. So as always, my friends, we'd like to start off by inviting Mary to come to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we celebrate, when we pray the Most Holy Rosary, we end by praying the Hail Holy Queen. The Hail Holy Queen, we also pray. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to pray with us and to pray for us as we go deeper in the riches of the Word of God, which is a lamp for our steps and light for our lives. So let's pray the Hail Mary together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friend, we'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. What a great privilege it is to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. Our console as well as our counselor. That were not sufficient, the Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. St. Paul in his letter to the Romans chapter 8 says, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to give us a lot of light in our intellect. And the fire of divine love to burn in the very depths of our hearts as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Louis of France, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's great to be with all of you. The family that prays together stays together, and a family at prayer, a world at prayer, is a world at peace. Yes, my friends, after praying with you, I'll pray for you. I'd like to place all of you on the altar. And the greatest of all prayers, and that prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's right, the greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to place you all on the altar. And offer these intentions. First, that we would be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray for our families. For the conversion, the sanctification, and the salvation of our families. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Let's pray for our conversion, that we would be saved. That's the purpose of our existence, is to get to heaven. Finally, I'd like to pray in a special way for those who will be dying sometime today, that they would be saved, that they would be saved. That they would die in the state of grace. And even looking toward ourselves, we don't know the day, nor the hour, nor the manner that we're going to die. So pray for the grace of all graces. Pray for the grace of all graces. so that in our lives we would die in the state of grace. The grace of all graces. Grace of all graces, to die in the state of grace. So there we have it, my friends. We'll place all those on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And yes, as Mary Jo has pointed out, we had a Mass and Holy Hour at 2 o'clock. Then later on in the evening in Spanish, we had a Holy Hour. So pray in this special way for families. It was a bilingual Holy Hour. We prayed for the sanctification of families. How very important that is. So today, my friends, let's jump into the readings. I'd like to make a connection between the first reading and the gospel reading. Today, the first reading we have from the book of Joshua. Moses has passed away. And he's passed the baton on to Joshua. Joshua will be the commander-in-chief, the leader of the Israelites, as they pass through the desert into the promised land. Joshua makes this statement. There are many people that have surrounded us, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Gershusites, the Philistines. You have to make a decision. Will you follow their gods, or will you follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that Moses taught us about? And then Joshua goes on to say, as for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. As for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. We will follow the Lord. As for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. And then the people respond, far be it from us to follow foreign gods. We too will follow the Lord. That's the first reading. So I'd like to move from the first reading, jump to the gospel. I'd like to give you an overview of the gospel and arrive at the overview of the gospel of St. John chapter 6 and then hone in on the gospel for today. My friends, over the past, this would be the fifth Sunday, in the very middle of summer, the church, year B for Sundays, has presented for our meditation a very important chapter in the Gospels. It's John chapter 6. That's right, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, my friends, I invite all of you to get to know John chapter 6. It is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament, but very substantial for us as Catholic Christians. So I'd like to go through this and glean some ideas for our own enrichment, our own meditation. The Gospel of St. John, the symbol is the eagle because it soars high in mystical thoughts, the Gospel of St. John. It's also known as the Gospel of the Signs. When we say sign in Johannine biblical interpretation, it means the seven signs would be the seven miracles. Seven signs would be the seven miracles. John chapter 6, you actually have two of these miracles. And why would Jesus Christ carry out miracles? He says in John chapter 8, if you don't believe my words, at least believe my actions. Many people doubted. And he said that if you don't believe my words, at least believe my actions. So John chapter 6 starts off with Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fish. The people have been following our Lord. They have not brought provisions. So our Lord multiplies a few loaves and a few fish so that the multitude can be satisfied. So, there we see Jesus carrying out a miracle of compassion toward the multitude. Then, after that miracle, Jesus carries out another miracle. He walks on the water. So we see the power of Christ over nature. And he says, yes, if you don't believe in my words, at least believe in my actions. If you don't believe in my words, at least believe in my actions, my miracles. And from there, we move into the synagogue in Capernaum, where Jesus gets up and he gives a powerful discourse. And it's actually called the Bread of Life Discourse. Today, the fifth Sunday in this same Gospel of John chapter 6, we come to the conclusion of John chapter 6. So let me give you a summary of John chapter 6. speak about the reaction of the people. And then give our own interpretation and application of what is this Bread of Life discourse. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to me? And it's this. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Okay, I repeat. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And Jesus continues, and he makes reference to Moses. Probably remember in the Old Testament, Moses was trekking through the desert with the Israelites, and they were complaining because they didn't have anything to eat. Then Moses implored God for his help. And God rained down bread from heaven. The Israelites said, what is that? And it's manna. What is that? And it's manna. Manna, which means, what is that? And it was the sweet bread that fell from heaven. So Jesus makes reference to that. And he says, your forefathers ate the bread from heaven, but they died. And he says, do not seek the perishable bread, but seek the bread that brings eternal life. Do not seek the perishable bread. And then Jesus continues by saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And he goes on to say, do not seek the perishable bread, but rather seek the bread that I will give to you, which is my body, my blood, which is for the salvation of the world. Now, our Lord insists upon this, repeating it over and over again. The fact that our Lord keeps repeating this idea that I am the bread of life, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He says it over and over again because of its supreme importance for the life of the world, for our own life, for our eternal life. You know, when a teacher or a mother repeats something over and over again, it's because that's important. And Saint Ignatius of Loyola in the spiritual exercises insists upon what is called, it's called an Ignatian repetition. to repeat. Go back and repeat a meditation. Go back and repeat a contemplation, because there's more fruit, more spiritual nourishment, more fruit to derive from that. So our Lord insists upon this bread of life. And of course, I think this is obvious for you in this perseverance family. And the bread of life is related to Mass and Holy Communion. I mean, I'm pretty sure that that's the conclusion that you draw, rightfully so. Rightfully so. So it's a matter, no, it's optional, but it's rather obligatory. It doesn't depend upon, well, whether or not I feel like it or not, but rather our Lord is giving us an imperative. It's something, it's a matter of life and death in our spiritual life. So we don't want to be playing around with our Lord's words, but rather to listen to them and to obey them. Take these words seriously. It's not optional. It's not conditional. It's an imperative. It is. So, these disciples of our Lord, so these are people that were following our Lord. They're following our Lord in His teaching and His miracles. They go on to say, these were His followers and His friends. They go on to say that this is a hard saying. Who can put up with it? This is a hard saying. Who can endure it? So they start to murmur. They start to complain. They start to question. They start to doubt. They start to become cynical. They start to become skeptical. They are lacking in faith. They are lacking in faith. And our Lord, looking at them, He sees the multitude of people, many who are following Him. He sees them melt in His presence, to disappear, to walk away. And our Lord did not do this. He did not say to the multitude, hey, come on back. Come on back. I was just speaking in a symbolic way. Come on back. You people don't know the difference between a symbol and reality. Come on back. I was just speaking in a symbolic fashion. Our Lord did not say that. He was not going to change His words. He would not change the fact that He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats My body and drinks My blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. He did not say, this symbolizes My body. This symbolizes My bread. He didn't say that. He would not change His words. And if the people are going to leave Him, that was their option. Our Lord respects our freedom. Now, we arrive at the gospel for today. Jesus is looking at all these people that are getting up and leaving Him. They're getting up and leaving Him. So He turns to His disciples. and ask them, what about them? His closest disciples, we call them the apostles. What about you? Are you going to leave me? And his intimate friends, the apostles, yesterday we celebrated St. Bartholomew or St. Nathaniel, says, will you also leave me? So, one of them, the prince of the apostles, his name is Saint Peter. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you are the Son of God. Peter is making his profession of faith. There in the Lord, the bread of life. Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? We've come to believe that you have the words of eternal life. And Jesus says, isn't it true that I chose all of you, but one of you is a devil? Wow. Strong words. One of you is a devil. Very, very strong words, huh? And this referred to Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, who would betray our Lord there at the Last Supper. Strong words. My friends, how can we apply this to our own lives? How can we apply this to our own lives? Look at the world in which we live today. All right. There are in between probably 7 and 8 billion people in the world. Baptized Catholics, the statistic probably point out that we have 1.2 billion baptized Catholics in the whole world. All right, United States, we probably have about 25 to 30% of those who live in the United States who are baptized Catholics. When I was a child, say in the early 60s, I would say I had Catholic friends and Jewish friends too. But I don't remember any of my Catholic friends. I don't remember any of my Catholic friends who would not go to Mass on Sunday. It was almost unheard of not to go to Mass on Sunday. Probably get 85% anyway that would go to Mass on Sunday. Whereas now, two generations afterward, the coin had flipped, and maybe we get 20% of the Catholics who go to Mass on Sunday. Bishop Robert Barron said in his diocese, I think he said like 18% of the people that go to Mass on Sunday. Mary Jo is saying the same. Same here, Father, large families too. That's right. Next to us, we would have the Irish, the Italian families, 8, 9, 10 kids, and they would all go to Mass on Sundays. It was almost unthinkable not to go to Mass on Sunday. One is because we had fear of the Lord. If we know that we missed Mass on Sunday, it was a mortal sin. If we died in mortal sin, we could lose our souls. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible teaches us. So, I think one of the key issues is related to the gospel today. Huge numbers. Huge numbers of Catholics have walked away from the church. I really see a parallel between the gospel today and what is happening in our modern world. As the huge numbers of people walked away from our Lord because that was a hard saying. Who can put up with it? How many Catholics today have walked away from the Catholic Church, the Mass, the Eucharist? How many have walked away from the Catholic Church, the Mass, the Eucharist? How many? Multitudes, huge numbers. And even statistics have pointed out that most of the Jehovah Witnesses, they used to be Catholics. Most of the Mormons, they used to be Catholics. Why is it that most of the Jehovah Witnesses and most of the Mormons were Catholics and have jumped ship? Why is it? Well, there are many reasons. But I honestly believe, my friends, that one of the principal reasons why what Alondra has put in Spanish, one of the reasons why is since Vatican II, there has been really a weak catechesis, as Nellie has pointed out. Yes, I would say over the last two generations, the catechesis has been very weak. Very weak. So we should have a renewal a revival in the catechesis. And that's why in the United States for 3 years, there's an attempt to revitalize our belief in the Eucharist. And that's why we had the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago to try to reaffirm our belief in the real presence in the Eucharist. Many, many people fail to believe. Many have never really been taught as to what the real presence is. Last Sunday, in my Mass, I told a story I'd like to recount to all of you now. I really love Fulton Sheen. Fulton Sheen promoted the holy hour. He called it the hour of power. Fulton Sheen at 75, he sent in his letter of dismissal, in which he canon law obliges the bishop at 75 to send in a letter of retirement from active ministry in the diocese, and Pope Paul VI accepted that. And Fulton Sheen the last few years of his life dedicated himself most specifically to giving retreats to bishops and priests. To bishops and priests. And the very essence of his teaching was these to priests and bishops, if you want to be holy and good priests and bishops, you have to make the daily holy hour. So here's the story I'd like to recount to all of you. Fulton Sheen was chosen to be the head of the propagation of the faith. And being the head of the propagation of the faith would be the missionary work throughout the world. In his book of his own life, Treasures in Clay, he has a chapter on his missionary work. He travels to a very poor country in Africa. While there, he celebrates the Mass in a very simple chapel. But someone brings to his attention that there's a woman leper that could not make it to church to receive the Eucharist. So Fulton Sheen gets on his bike. Yes, they gave him a bike. And he travels from the chapel to a little simple poor hut. He gets off and there's a leper woman who really wanted to receive communion. The leprosy had eaten away and devoured her hands, her arms, and her feet. And Sheen brings her Holy Communion. That's right, Fulton Sheen brings her Holy Communion. And he says, tomorrow, after Mass, I'll get on my bike and I'll travel to your little hut and I'll bring you communion again. But something happened that was a shock to Fulton Sheen. When he was celebrating the Mass the following day, he noticed that this leper woman, was already in the church. What had happened was the following. Being aware that he was going to celebrate Mass, she made her way to the church, to the little chapel, by rolling, kind of like a tumbleweed, rolling and rolling and rolling, like a tumbleweed. Made it to the church. And she had cuts and bruises because she had to roll on the hot sand with the stones and the branches and the roots. I really like that story of Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. It's a great one because it's very easy for us to be accustomed and to take for granted this great, great gift that we have, which is our Catholic faith, the great, great gift that we have, which is our Catholic faith. How good God is. How good God is that all of us have been blessed and endowed with our Catholic faith. Pope John Paul II, one of his last encyclicals was Ecclesia Eucharistia, the Church and the Eucharist, one of his last encyclicals, which is the church related to the Eucharist. Pope John Paul II insists, related to our faith, that if we want to grow in our faith, and the Eucharist is the key, is the center. If we want to grow in our faith, one of the best ways for us to grow in our faith, this is Pope St. John Paul II, is not to keep the faith to ourselves, not to hoard it or hide it or put it underneath a bushel basket. Quite the contrary. If we want to grow in our faith, then we should try to share our faith with others. So by sharing our faith with others, we're not going to be diminishing our faith. We'll be augmenting our faith. So I invite all of you to invite all of you, my friends, to share this message with the whole world. And I, for my part, I will give you my priestly blessing. And let's be thankful that we believe in Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.